The problems of yesterday and the possibilities of tomorrow can be the two greatest handicaps in life. People often carry the effects of their failures day in and day out, and are burdened with the worry of future challenges and troubles. Now, none of us are immune to this, and for good reason. We're not worried, for example, about future mutations of COVID. We see young people dying from another pandemic, the one arising from opioids. We watch the news, and it seems to be a constant feed of confusion, turmoil, and despair. But in spite of all this, we need to remember what Jesus, long ago, living in a rural place, said to his disciples, "O you of little faith, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Each day has trouble, enough trouble of its own." Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, said, "This one thing I do, I forget the things which are past, and I reach forward unto the things which are before, pressing always unto that mark for the high prize, which is my calling in Christ Jesus my Lord." You see, we Christians are counseled to put aside the things which are in the past. They are never to be a drag upon us. They are never to remain as liabilities for living life today. This forgetting is not an effort to ignore the things that are in the past, but it should be placed in the context of dealing with them for our past failures. And God will forgive us and renew in us a right mind and a new spirit to enable us to do His will and His purpose. You know, once our obligations are settled, we should no longer look back with remorse and regret. Rather, as Paul said, we are to go on, to press forward without the weight of previous failures. Now, who among us has not failed God and our fellow humans? We all have. The remedy for an anxious heart, for a troubled spirit, is suggested again by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Philippi. He writes so eloquently, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, unless we can learn to deal with the problems of yesterday and to stop obsessing of some remote possibilities of tomorrow, we're going to be weighed down continuously with an anxiety that will make us unfit to assume the responsibilities of today. After all, my friends, it's today that matters. And today may have its full share of sorrow and trouble for us, but these are not the hardest to bear. It's the cares of tomorrow that hinder us more than the cares of today. The anticipation of things that might happen. The greatest handicaps in life are things that never happen to us. Think of your own life. It's so often our concern of what is going to happen instead of concern for what's happening now that wears us out. And it confuses us. You know, we're an anxious people here in America. And we always have been. It's kind of built into our DNA. We work hard to achieve a better life, to acquire more stuff. We shuttle our kids around to all kinds of sports tournaments and events. Here in Wisconsin, we pack our summer weekends with as much activities as we can so we can enjoy this short season that we call summer. And you know, technology has just made things worse. Do you all remember the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses? I think that originated in the 1950s, and it probably was one of those where you admired that your neighbor had a better car than you did, so you had to get a different car. Maybe their lawn was more manicured, more green. They had a nice downstairs, finished downstairs basement with a bar. Now you look at technology, and that's been amplified, keeping up with the Joneses, right? We see Facebook, we see Instagram, and technology has done that to us. But one of the truest sayings of our Lord was this: do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, I listen to this, and I think it's a warning to us Christians against taking tomorrow's troubles. It's a warning against the danger of anticipating troubles that never happen to us. And Jesus wasn't teaching us just to be careless, but rather he said that a Christian should be carefree, and in the sense of being properly careful about our obligations, our responsibilities, our privileges. You know, this subject matter to me is deeply personal, for I've suffered with anxiety for decades, and it runs in my family. It manifested itself beginning in high school, and it grew worse throughout college. I received counseling on a couple of different occasions, and it went dormant for many years. And the anxiety resurfaced just a few years ago when I had my first panic attack on the observation deck of the Statue of Liberty in New York City. Not a fun place to have a panic attack. You know, thanks to the miracles of modern medicine, I feel so much better. You know, it's kind of like a burden that's been lifted off of your shoulders. And, you know, and that's not to say that I don't worry. I'm human. But I no longer feel the constant churning of anxiousness and anxiety that's consumed me and ultimately led to that panic attack. Now, you know, my personal story may be to the extreme of anxiety, but it's a lesson. You know, we can't borrow from the future. We can't fume, we can't fret and work ourselves up. We can't cross bridges before we come to them. You know, I read an interesting story about a man who carried a pack on his shoulders, and he groaned and complained about it constantly as he slowly journeyed through life, toiling under this heavy burden. One day an angel came and spoke kindly to him, saying, "What are you carrying?" And the man snarled, "I carry my bag of worries." And then the angel smiled upon him and said, "Let's look into this bag that you're carrying and check out your worries." And they looked, and the bag was empty. "But surely," said the man, "there were two tremendous worries. There must have been. Worries too heavy for me to bear. But I've forgotten. One was the worry of yesterday, and now it's gone." "What about the other?" asked the angel. "The other was the worry of tomorrow, and it's not yet here." Then the angel smiled with pity. The man took up his journey and went swiftly on, and his heart and his hands were free to relieve others and to tell others of their empty bags. You know, in some form or another, fear dogs every one of us. Parents are afraid for their children or afraid of their job, losing their jobs. There isn't a home or an office or a church in which some form of apprehension is not eating at the hearts of the people moving in and out. I would guess that the miseries brought on by sin and sickness wouldn't even come close to the ones that we bring upon ourselves through fears and worries. I mean, we're not sick all the time, right? We're not sinning all the time. But most of us are afraid of something or someone all of the time. You know, I'm guessing that many of you this morning, if you really studied your thoughts carefully, will find that your attention right now is divided between what I'm saying and some anxiety that has been lingering in your hearts for days, for weeks, months, even years. So how can we as Christians let this happen? How can we learn to live as Christians as our Lord taught us, confidently in our faith? So let's say that we admit there are several factors that contribute to our problems in life. And some of these remain largely out of our control. You know, for example, our physical condition. If a person is worn out from illness, his or her battle with worry will be far harder than it should be. Their difficulties don't have anything to do with faulty ideals or ideas, but rather in a depleted body. For this person to recover, they will have to fill themselves with love and open their hearts to receive the love and concern of others. You know, there are many households out there that are deeply influenced by one member whose outlook on life is dark and gloomy. The impact of living in that kind of an environment is harmful, not only for that person, but also for the members of their family or loved ones. The members of this family, burdened with the weight of gloom and despair and disillusionment, sickness, will find it easy to become victims of despair. You know, when an individual falls into the darkness of remorse and despair, even those who love him or her can turn that love into hate. You know, chances are that many of us, over the coming years, will suffer some kind of physical challenge. And when that happens, remember those who love you. Make every effort to be strong in your faith and be confident. Maybe there are young people near your sickbed who are watching your suffering and your test of faith. Don't give in to despair, no matter how bleak the future looks. Think of others, and you'll find strength for yourself. This is where we think of those who love us and those whom we love in spite of our sickness. You know, so much of our victory over anxiety involves our temperament. There are some folks who are just blessed with an optimistic spirit, an almost invincible optimism, and this gives them an enormous advantage in life. Such was a woman named Fanny Crosby, who was blind and a great writer of hymns. Listen to what she wrote. "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world how happy I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people won't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, and I won't." And on her 92nd birthday, this remarkable woman wrote this letter. "Dear friends, I do not find fault. I know that I have been blessed, and for your blessings, I thank you. If in all the world you can find a happier person than I, then bring him or her to me, for I would like to shake their hand." Wow. Ms. Crosby embodied the Christian personality. Overcoming her handicap and not thinking of in terms of herself, but in terms of others. This radiant spirit won the battle against anxiety, worry, and fear. You know, all of this, my friends, has a practical meaning for all of us who find that the struggle with chronic anxiety is one of their most difficult problems. And that fault may not be wholly yours or mine. Perhaps we're contending with a body and a set of nerves that were never wholly right. Might be a chemical or hormonal imbalance. Perhaps we struggled with growing up with relatives, like I, who suffered with anxiety, and now we have those same impulses. Perhaps we've been burdened from birth with a bad personality or bad temperament. But we shouldn't beat ourselves up for occasional failures. But how can a Christian person ever have the sense of the victory of love and of faith if he or she is constantly being tormented by a fear of failure, inadequacy, regret, or despair? You know, as I was writing this, I kind of reflected upon my life and career. And there were so many times that I was convinced there was a disaster coming. But it never happened. There were times when I lost out on some opportunities. But then they came back. But what if disaster appears? Sometimes it does, right? Then what? You know, I know that deep down, each one of us realizes that worry will neither prevent nor change an unhappy situation. It will only weaken us in our effort to overcome. For example, what if you lost your job? After losing your job, every night you worried about it. But worrying didn't do a thing except to make you angrier and more depressed about losing your job. Excessive worry will also diminish your ability to manage life's disappointments when they arise. And they do arise. We know that. You can't beat yourself up. Relax. Wait for life to bring the future to you. God is always opening doors for you. Don't keep them shut with the boots of worry and anxiety. What if your children fail a high school or college exam? Are you going to berate them? Drive them crazy? Are you worried about them? Or your embarrassment and disappointment that they didn't meet your expectations? Are your actions going to turn them into nervous, worried kids driven to negative things? You know, when we've done our best, God can be trusted to give us His best. The Bible says, "Oh, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him and see that the Lord will bring." Yes. When we recognize this fact of life, we become confident. Worry and fear will all but disappear. Listen to these beautiful words penned by the American conservationist, John Burroughs. "Serene, I fold my hands and wait, nor care for wind or tide or sea. I rave no more against time or fate, for low minds own shall come to me. What matter if I stand alone? I wait with joy the coming years. My heart shall reap where it has sown and gather up fruits of tears. The stars come nightly to the sky, the tidal wave comes to the sea, nor time nor space, nor deep nor heights can keep mine own away from me." When you find yourself filled with anxiety and worry, remind yourself that you always face in life no more than one problem at a time. Life's difficulties come to us not in a coordinated attack, but single file. And think about this. By handling each problem quietly and in sequence, one problem at a time, you'll find that handling life will be much easier. Here's a fact that people forget. They say, "How can I ever get through this impossible time? Look at what I have before me. Look at all the things that are piling up on me. It's beyond what I can handle. I can't handle it. Well, I challenge you to look back at your life and the insurmountable problems that you've had, the obstacles that were before you. Do you remember? There was one problem at a time, and you solved your problems one at a time. You're still here. You're still moving forward, still solving your problems one at a time. Here's another poem I thought you would like. God broke the years to hours, and day by day, just going on a little way. We might be able all along to keep our spirit poised and strong. Should all the weight of life be laid across our shoulders, and the future rife with woe and struggle, meet us face to face in one small place. We could not go, our hearts would faint. And so God lays a little on us every day, never on the year's long way. Will burdens bear so deep, or pathways rise so steep, but that we can struggle on? If by God's power we learn to bear each burden, hour by hour. And so if we think again what our Lord has taught us, saying, don't be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of things itself. Think of those things that are good, lovely, true, beautiful, and of good report. Think of all these things. As a person thinks in his or her heart, he or she shall be. And finally, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen.